Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaritamastomavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 72. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce them to read Krishna literature, so that in the future he may also become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu, yes, touch charana ravindayoho. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. So one's trying to get, means service must be practical, right? There's an affection for the Lord, an attraction for the Lord, that must have a practical expression. So there must be activity, so devotional service mustn't be there. So hearing, chanting, remembering is the most important out of those, right? The most essential, because those are performed in all the other positions. So then here, by preaching, by distributing books, this aspect, then that's going to remind ourselves of Krishna, that's going to remind others of Krishna. And then the point of this is being fully absorbed in Krishna, that brings one to samadhi. Because at the point of samadhi, then one is qualified to actually then serve the Lord. One can take part in the Lord's, activities, or his pastimes. Right? Without coming to the point of samadhi, one doesn't qualify yourself to come to that position. Does that make sense? That's why the sahajiyas are taken as so cheap, because without coming to that position, then they try to take that position. But the point is the process of chanting the holy name, then one is always trying to remember, right? So then this process of smarana, right? In chanting the holy name, you have the five levels of advancement within the chanting. Right. So then the first is Shravana Dasa, right? So you hear about the position of the glories of the holy name, the position of the how to qualify yourself as to chant, offenseless chanting. What is the goal of chanting? Yes? So that then brings you to the point of being able to continuously chant. That's the whole point, is that you have two stages in chanting. One is that you are occasionally chanting, and one is you're continuously chanting. So occasionally chanting, we do our 16 rounds, done that, and then, Hari Bol. Continuous chanting means we're always chanting. So even if we're not able to count the chanting on beads, we're chanting. Right? When you're sleeping, when you're taking bath, when you're eating, all these different times. So by understanding the Shravana Dasa, that will bring you to the point of continuous chanting. And continuous chanting basically happens as you get free from anarthas. Because what gets in the way of chanting is anarthas. So the impurity in the heart, that keeps you from chanting because you're chanting about something else. In other words, you can either be saying Hare Krishna or oh my God, like this. You have two choices. Yes, as long as it's about one's God, then it's okay. But if it's about some social something, yeah. So then that brings you to the point of actually appreciating what the devotees in the Lord's pastimes and in the preaching mission are doing, because these are all pastimes, right? So in other words, what's the attitude of the Goswamis? What's the attitude of the Acharyas? What's the attitude of the eternal associates? That kind of mood, and that they have affection for Krishna, right? So in other words, by appreciating this, understanding that the chanting process, the name being non-different from Krishna, then you're associating with Krishna and his associates. Does that make sense? So that brings you then to that position of appreciating that position that they have. That brings you to Varanadasa. Right? So that's the second stage of chanting. Then, from that being constant, that brings you, then you're going to remember that the Lord and the devotees that are there. So that will take you through the stages of Smaranadasa, right? So then there's going to be, I'm not sure if Smarana is not the first one. Yeah, Smarana, then Dharana. Smarana, Dharana, Dhyan, Dhruvana Smriti, and Samadhi, right? Sometimes there's slightly difference in the words, but basic thing is this is the levels in the yogic meditation. So meditation is one thing. So meditating upon these. So you'll remember the name of the Lord. Then you'll, concentrate on the form of the Lord, right? Because from name comes form. Then from seeing that, then you're going to meditate upon the qualities of the Lord. Meditate on the qualities in that. Then you're going to be absorbed in the in the pastimes of the Lord. And from that, then when that deepens, that'll bring you to samadhi. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when one comes to that point of samadhi, that qualifies you to therefore then take part in the Lord's pastimes. That's called apanadasa. Mm-hmm. So that means it's already there. That's the interesting point. That's where Sarup City is. Mm-hmm. Right? Because generally we try to take it that Sarup City is on a lower level than that, because that's how the Sahajiyas approach it. So Sarup City simply means I've heard. So what's in Shravana Dasa, they'll take that. At that point they have Sarup, so then they can take part in these pastimes. The difficulty comes is that what's their qualification? They're not fully absorbed. So until one's come to that point of complete attachment to Krishna, one actually can't take part in the pastimes. Right? So when we say Sarup City, means you can have a Sarup. But the point is it only becomes siddhi or perfect when you're able to apply it in the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense? So the living entity may be, just take from another angle, may be in a spiritual form. But if they're not able to engage in the Lord's pastimes, how is that siddhi? Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, we were in an unboiled state where we fell from. You understand? Because we haven't come to that point where we actually care about taking up the association. So that Shravanadasa may be there, that may aspect may be there, may not be there, but we're not coming to Varanadasa, not moving on to Smaranadasa, so therefore not coming to Purvarag, therefore not taking part in the pastimes. But we're engaged in activities. Right? Because we're there, we're in the culture environment, maybe in the spiritual world, in the spiritual form, but we're in that environment. So we're engaged in activities. What do we see? The names and forms of those activities. Why are we involved in that? Because we think that this is nice, it's good, right? Something in pure goodness can't be bad, right? Right? You know, it's nice. There's no difficulties in the material world there. But the consciousness is that being that is material. Therefore, then we're not qualified to remain in that position, so then we come to the material world. In a sense. So what we're trying to do is get past that. So we're entering into the process, not just from a neutral state of liberation, but from the liberation knowing about Krishna. That's Brahma Bhuta. That, from that position, then one understanding the name, moving forward into relating with the identity of the residents of Braj and their attitude of service and all that, then moving that forward into being absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, that brings you to the point where now one has that full attachment to Krishna, now you can take part in the pastimes. Mm-hmm. Right? If we're talking from here, it's in meditation. If you're talking there, it's actually physically you're doing it. You understand? Mm-hmm. Then, that will bring you to the point, so that's apandas, that will bring you to the point of prapandas, or that's the other term we use, sampatidas, which means then inheritance. That's Vastu city. Now you become an eternal associate. Because being an associate, that's one thing, but you could get stuck on that platform if you think you're special. So that has to bring you to the point of being qualified to take part eternally in the pastimes as Vastu city. So what we've given here is then how by chanting here you can come to that platform within this form. Though, of course, Vastu city, you have to leave this form and go there. So Prapandas, but the other four can be done here. That's why it said occasionally you're going to have someone who they would go from here directly to Goloka, because they've already done the activities of Gokula while they're still here through meditation. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you perform your devotional service, you remember Krishna at the time of death, you go to wherever Krishna's pastimes are performed in Gokul. Now you're actually physically there in your spiritual body. But the point is you still have to go through these stages. You have to come to the mood of catching that mood of the Brajabasis, taking up that association, assisting them in their service. Then that brings you to the point of samadhi, going through, you're fully absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. That brings you to Purva Rag. Now you're qualified to actually take part in the pastimes. That's Apandas. Then taking part in those pastimes, that brings you to the point of then developing that love for Krishna, prema, that brings you to Sampatidas. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's the same process, but it's just whether it's being done, how much is done here, how much is done there. So it's a continuation. However far you get here, that's where you'll continue from there. It's just that here we'll be using our conditioning in Krishna service, and there we'll be using our natural form in Krishna service. You understand? So the whole point is service is the main thing. You can't not do service. So getting people to hear, chant, and remember, as we see, that's the whole point. That's the main thing, because if you come to the point of full surrender, here it says, this is samadhi. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, when it's fully absorbed in Krishna, this is samadhi, because coming to samadhi, you're able to take part in the Lord's pastimes. Yes?
Right, so all these five stages, they're in connection with Bhava Sadhana.
But they're starting all the way down, because as we remember, Bhava is what is creating all those different aspects. So in other words, that faith, that taste, that attachment, these are all, you could say, qualities above. The other ones are then stages in going through. So what's happening is that in Shravana Dasa, you're gaining the faith, you're taking up the association, in other words, what's favorable chanting, you're avoiding the offenses, you're taking up the process, you're removing the anartas, that will bring you to continuous chanting. So nishta. Right? Then from that platform, that continuing, then you start to get a taste for this, because you see the natural position of Krishna, his devotees, that relationships that they have, that concept of prema bhakti, that becomes more of a reality. That brings you to that next stage. Does that make sense? You know, so then that brings you then through to Ruchi and Asakti. That will bring you that in that meditation to then being attached to Krishna, so that Smarana Dasa will continue. That will bring you up to the point where then in Surup City, then you can, through meditation, take part in the pastimes. That will bring you to Vastu City. That will take you then as an eternal associate. So it's the same process, Shraddha to Prema. Mm-hmm. It's just whether you're doing that here or whether you're doing that there. You know what I'm saying? So here means not in meditation and coming to the point of meditation, or going there and then through the same process, then taking part. The point is that it's the consciousness. In other words, when one is fully absorbed, that's what qualifies one to take part in the Lord's pastimes. Not having a spiritual body. That's the point. Sahajiyas are saying, I hear about my spiritual body, so therefore then I'm thinking of the Ekadas Bhav, and so therefore meditating on that, I take part in my own mental speculation in the Lord's pastimes. But that's mundane. It's mental speculation. It's actually technically atheistic, because you're not that, then how you're describing how the Lord and everybody will take part. You're taking the actual process, you're taking part of what's going on, not what you imagine. So sahajas imagine what's going on. You know, they'll take from Shastra and then put it together like a dream. You take a gold and take a mountain, you make a gold mountain. So they'll do like that. So that's why that's completely rejected. So it's until one comes to that point, then that's where it naturally happens. That's why we don't talk about it. You know, it's some soul will say, oh, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they changed the process before, you know, their Swarup City and this and that. No, it's exactly the same process. The point is people will come to that point of samadhi, therefore then they would know who they are, then therefore then they would take part in the pastimes through meditation. But unless you've come to that point, you can't take part, so then why even bother discussing it? Yes.
So the doubt might be is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 39th chapter of the Jiva Dharma, he says, he explains how Mahaprabhu gave different, you know, paths to different associates.
Yeah.
And he says that, you know, he gave to Swarup Damodar, and then Swarup Damodar distributed to his associates, and then the external paths he gave to Bhakeshwar Pandit, and then the internal paths he gave to Rupa and Raghun. So we follow that. So, but then Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, apparently, he followed both. He got Ekadas Bhav, and then he followed Harinam.
But the point is who is he? So the point is he's already in that position. You know, it's just like Narottam Das Thakur. He's a kid, right?
He's
a kid.
A kid.
Yeah. Then he goes down and takes bath at the Padma, right? So, and then the Padma River gives him the prema that Lord Chaitanya had left there for him, right? So then their process of going from, you know, Shraddha to prema, you know, goes through very quickly. So you'll see the acharyas, they always go through the stages, but just they'll go through them more quickly. So we can understand how it works. But the point is it's not time bound, it's qualification bound. Just like it's not the birth, it's the guna and karma within Varnashram. So it's consistent. So you have that. You are on the platform of samadhi, fully absorbed in the name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, dham, paraphernalia of the Lord, 24/7. Then yes, then that will have some meaning. But to get Ekadas Bhav before that, how is being propounded by the Babaji's? Because I can guarantee you the concept that it's been changed has come from the Babaji's. I can say that 100%. And devotees, because they associate with all varieties of individuals, they get these. Even if they didn't associate with them, they've associated with those who have associated with them. Right? So whether it's Radhakund Babaji's or it's Govardhan Babaji's, basically nobody's associated with the Navadvip Babaji's, because somehow or another it's just Navadvip's too funky for most people. Yeah, it's too far away, right? You know, you get in a rickshaw, you get in a tempo, and hey, Hari Bol. But here it's like you got to go down to the god, then you got to cross the river, then you go, nobody's going to do that. So it's going to be coming from them. So it's not a different process. It's just what are the qualifications for that process. So since with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, since the quality of individuals that are there aren't as great as before, therefore, then you have to emphasize much more on these other aspects. Like Prabhupada said, that first 6 months, the Purushcharya Vidhi. But the holy name doesn't require, because by chanting, then it's there, but it's while you're chanting, you would engage in these activities. That brings you qualification for then initiation. So then that would be the same process is followed, but we see is that by breaking the second initiation, I mean the Pancharatrik Diksha, the five parts into two, the first three and the last two, then that just gives people more time in that to move forward. It's like the difference between what you're learning, let's say, in traditional Chinese martial arts and what you'd be learning, let's say, in the Japanese martial arts. the level that when you would say you're a master, it would be the same thing. The difference is in the Chinese, you just do it until you become a master. Naturally, the stages go through, but you just become a master. Then it's recognized now you're a master, right? But in the Japanese system, you start off as a white belt, and then you move on and like that until you get to a black belt, right? It's the same thing. It means they both put on white belts, and when you come to the point of black belt, one is that he's changed belts and got to that. The other one, the Chinese, he's been wearing it so long and doing so much work and all that, the belts turn black. Like that. Right, you know. Because they're not known for taking a lot of baths or washing things. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's just like how you say if you're a biker, you don't wash your jeans. So if you're a martial artist, you don't wash your belt. Right, yeah. So, like that. So that's the point. So you can say, oh, but it's changed. No, it's exactly the same thing. You just put those stages into positions, because it's not that all these things aren't given by the acharyas, because the five stages of chanting is given, but the nine levels of Shraddha to Prema are also given. Right. So, but the point is they're all connected. It's just a matter if you're looking at just the main part of the chanting and taking part in that, how hearing, chanting, and remembering is developing, or you're taking in what, where the focus is, what aspect of devotional development you're looking at. So it's just different vichar of the same thing. So there isn't any change in difference. It is the same thing. It's just that when these things happen, because the point is it's pointed out, is that until you're on that platform, in other words, if through meditation you come to the point of samadhi, then you will find yourself there in Braj through meditation. You will be met by either Krishna, the Guru, or one of the Lord's eternal associates. Then it will be revealed to you who you are and what your position is. Then you have to adjust with that mood. Right? And then having adjusted with that, then you can be engaged in little things until you come to that point of pure virag, then you can take part in the pastimes through meditation. So the point is if one, until that's given, then what's the point? So what we have to do is we generally take it by the secondary, so we'll take it, oh, but in Jiva Dharma, these people are getting it, they're not, but we're not looking at the words. We look at the words really carefully, we'll see is they're on that platform. That's why they're getting it. So, point is you don't have to worry about it. It will be, Krishna's there, he is in control, he'll take care of it. So this idea, well, if I don't get it, I won't move. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's about the absorption in the name. These other things, these are taken care of by other people. It's not our business, Ekadas Bhav. That's the business of Krishna, the Guru, or the associates. When you come to that point of basically liberation, because until you come to the Brahman platform, how do you know the personal? So if we're still identifying with the conditioning, how are we going to identify with this Ekadas Bhav? So there's no contradiction there. Does that make sense? So in other words, we can be involved in a sadhana, understand the whole process, and know how to move through the process. And but according to the position, that's what has to be emphasized. So in other words, in Shravana Dasa, then the glories of the name, how to avoid offenses to the name, how to associate with devotees and the chanting of the name, you know, how to be absorbed in the name, the non-difference of the name and Krishna, all the glories of the name, these are the emphasis. Because then by that, then one comes to that position of constantly chanting. When we're constantly chanting, then we can talk about the next position. So there is an external thing that you can say it is there, mm-hmm. in case one wants to know how, you know, what's the position. So when that constant chanting is there, then it goes. Because if we go by that, if we want to take also what Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions, then he's also mentioning that the culmination in Shravana Dasa is 3 lakhs of names a day. That's also mentioned. So that means is that you're just constantly chanting. That doesn't necessarily mean 3 lakhs on beads. Right? Haridas Thakur is 3 lakhs on beads, and then everything else he's chanting. So for us, it's how much we can on the beads, and then the rest of the time we're chanting, that will end up to be 3 lakhs. You know, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you chant your 16 rounds, you do service all day, then that's equivalent to the chanting because you're serving Krishna. It's non-different. But there comes a point where you are chanting while you're doing that service. So that brings it to 3 lakhs. Does that make sense? So you can, if you want, an, you know, how you say, an external symptom, then yes, this would be the symptom. So we can understand is that, so if we're talking about Ekadas Pat, it's beyond that. Because the earliest you can talk about that would be theoretically, is Varna Dasa. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you can't use it until you get to, you know, until Smarana Dasa mm-hmm. comes to Samadhi, then in Apan Dasa, you can actually use it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know about it before, it doesn't matter. You know, just like this idea, well, if I don't start Raganuga Bhakti, you know, sadhana now, then I won't get. No. Point is it with Anartha Nivriti, that can happen. So either Anartha Nivriti Adnishta, but that means it's only a concept of what it is. A generic concept. It's not specific. You know, like for us, we're trying to be Brajbasis. So we want to serve in there. So in the mood of the Brajbasis, then we're trying to serve. Does that make sense? So that generic kind of mood is there. But at the point of actually being in the spiritual world, in a spiritual body, you know, either by meditation or by leaving this body and then ending up in Gokul, taking birth in Gokul, then there's some meaning to then absorption in the specifics of your relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, there's no meaning. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that you can't take part in the activities. Just like the engaged girl is not taking part in intimate activities of household life. Right? So the point is that she's still, it's about character, it's about duties, it's about regulation, it's about, you know, proper mentality, social, all these different things. So it's the hajjas that they try to move the whole thing up. So therefore, you know, how you say, the little girls up in the attic with Barbie and Ken and all that, if a little boy walks up, then hey, it's all happening. That's the hajjas. You know what I'm saying? The point is married, then. So the point is whether you hear about it while we're here on this platform, about what is our position there, and get a general idea, and then therefore take up Raganuga. But the point is you can't use it directly until you come to you know, until Brahmabhuta, when you're liberated. So in any case, that's the only time you can practically absorb yourself in it, and you can't use it till Apan Das anyway. You know, even if one is, let's say, a cowherd boy and all this, and you can't take part in the pastimes till Apan Das. You're a boy in Braj. Right? And because of your full absorption in Krishna, then through the association of the eternal associates, who are cowherd boys that are there, taking up their mood, that brings you to samadhi, to purva rag. That brings you then to the point where then they invite you out with Krishna. Does that make sense? So this whole idea that everything has to be pushed up, that's coming from the neophyte stage, that's coming from the Babaji's. So whether someone's directly gone to Babaji's or gone to people who've gone to Babaji's, it's still the same point. Is that as the Acharyas give it, that's the way it is, there's no change.
So basically we can say we follow the internal path.
Yes, we follow the internal path. Because you also have these different forms of that. Because the Vakreshwara Pandit means what group? That's cowherd boys. Mm. Right? And then you're going to have with, what do you call it? Lalita and all that, they're already eternal associates. But Srup Damodar and that, I mean, yes, with Srup Damodar. But then with Rupa and Sanatan, who are they dealing with? Mm. Us. So that's the path for us. In other words, all the associates come It means the living entities who are coming up into the pastimes, the associates who are already there in the pastimes, they're going to come and take part in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. How are they going to take part? Because it is the Sankirtan pastime, then you're going to have this aspect of sadhana. They're going to all act as sadhakas. So what is going to be the sadhana for them? The external form of it is going to be the same, but the internal is going to be different for the different devotees. Does that make sense? It's not that they don't all have a connection. They're just meant for different people. Right? In other words, eternal associates coming down in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and then thinking of themselves as sadhakas and trying to absorb themselves in the Lord's, you know, pastimes and chanting the holy name, then they're on a different platform than we are. So they have a different path. Does that make sense? So like that, we follow the Goswamis. So that's the important point. So that's why then whatever they recommend, however they give, that's how then it's practiced. So you have to see it in connection. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in other words, if we say, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then emphasizes this aspect and all that, then, but the point is Rupa Goswami mentions it, the other Goswamis mention it, but don't get into so much detail, because the point is the Lord will reveal it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the detail, but he's pointing out that the Lord will reveal it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, they don't have to give the detail because Bhaktivinoda Thakur already gave it, but you have to be absorbed in samadhi to get it anyway, and the Lord will take care of it. So there's no difference in all the acharyas. We, by externals, try to make the difference, but actually that's very dangerous to do because there isn't any. We have to remember, they are all friends. They all hang out together every day, all day, eternally. So there's not going to be really that much of a difference. And, you know, they're different individuals and personalities, but the point is if somebody's already explained something, no one else needs to explain it. You refer to there. Is that...
So can we say that because there's no adhikar, then the external process just faded away? Because we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's somewhere in the middle. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave...
You can, but it's very dangerous to take that position as a position, because the problem comes up is, let us say, as an individual, it means as an individual, you know, how would we rate ourselves? Great, wonderful, fabulous, you know, incredible. You understand? So, therefore, if it's a matter of, oh, but this is because we're unqualified, therefore, but I'm not unqualified, I'm fabulous. Therefore, then I should do this. That's not being done here. ISKCON devotees aren't doing it. Why? Because they don't know about it and all that. So it's something less than all that. So they being unqualified, I have to find somebody qualified, and therefore I'm going to end up probably at Radhakund, because I don't even know there's Babaji's at Govardhan. And as we already said, we're not going to Navadvip, you know, forget that one. Yeah. Right? You know, so that's the problem. The point is it's just a matter of time. Because when they're telling these, that could be what's happening in Jiva Dharma. Or what's happening with Gopakumar. That can be happening in one lifetime. That can be happening in multiple lifetimes. The process is the same. But the point is you're just giving it the process. So how it's going to be explained. So there, if you find individuals within one lifetime getting that, then great. But the point is if not, because we see also Bhaktivinoda Thakur explaining the chanting when he's giving the details, not just the summary as we just discussed. He'll talk about if at this point you're not serious, it could take you lifetimes. But we don't consider that in the process. We just consider, he just explained it through as if one sadhaka is going through the whole thing from Shraddha to Prema. And so, yes, it could happen this way. But the point is that what stages are these happening? But the point is for us, because of the prestige and this and that, we'll try to make ourselves more qualified than we are. So that's why these points aren't discussed so much. Because it's why do you need to discuss them? Does that make sense? So it's just like this. The girl, she's walking around the house. Okay, it's nobody's around. It's off time. Nobody's going to be visiting. She's wearing whatever she's wearing. The mother points out that that's a little bit, you know, you shouldn't wear like that. You should wear a little bit better than that. Okay? So that's the mentality. You know, it's a mentality, because then you understand, okay, I should dress better. You know, there's a certain mood that's there. But now, let's get the, as she grows up, she meets the other teenage girls, and they're all talking about this and that and about the boys. Okay? Now, they're talking about, well, if you wear this, then this will happen, you wear that, you know, like that. They're getting all bajiggity, right? So, now, in here, what's the whole point? Is there any value to that unless you know the other? So unless you know how to control everything, how do you know how to direct anything? So only one who's in control can direct. Because otherwise, if you can't control, then there is no control. And so anything just happens, whatever it does, and then everybody gets kind of out of shape. So we see is that unless you know how to control, the other is just the other way. It's just like if a girl knows, okay, what are the attractive feminine features? How to dress in such a way to make that not, you know, understand it's not available. Right? That means she knows the whole science and she can control it. That means if she wants to adjust anything, she can, because she knows the science. It'll be said, oh, these girls who control themselves, they don't know. They're the actual ones who do know. Because these other ones don't know. They're surprised. You know, all this stuff is, you know, hey, eyes up here. It's kind of like, you want eyes up there, then adjust what you're dressing. You know? It's my right to do this. Well, hey, well, the guys could go out, you know, and, you know, how you say, leather shorts and that, and you know, like this, and, you know, what do you call the spikes all over, and, you know, like that. Well, the girl's going to appreciate that? No. So then, you know, hey, eyes up here, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it's by knowing how to control and all that, knowing these things, then one the other is just a continuance of the same thing. That's the whole point. If you know how to cook, what should be cooked on what occasions, and know all that, do you not know how to cook if someone desires something specific? Because by knowing the rules, you can cook anything, and so you cook it at the right times when it thinks of the particular season, and it has its rotational thing. But now, if somebody is a special party and somebody wants something specific, even if it's out of season, you can't cook it? Of course, you can cook it. So that's the whole thing, is that it's oh no, but unless I practice whimsicality, then I won't be good at, you know, Raganuga and Prema. But that's the thing, is no, it's the all the fundaments of what could be when we say rag and spontaneous is about the attraction. So it's going to be about what's going to be the mood between Radha and Krishna. What is there happening now? What's the scene in Braj? Because we have to judge that. Mother just showed us also spontaneously serving Krishna, so are the cowherd boys. So are the cows. So you have to fit into the whole thing. It's not that it's just about us. It's about the whole of Braj. Right? And so then that whole part of Braj, that you're fitting into that. So you have to be able to do. Now, what are the elements that could be used? Right? All those things are there. So you know all those aspects. Then whenever they need to be used, you can use them. But the point is unless you've learned them as a science, unless you've practiced them as a sadhana, how you'll use them spontaneously. That's the misunderstanding, is spontaneous happens by being whimsical. No, spontaneous happens by being regulated and knowing the rules and can follow them. You know, if someone knows all the aspects of cooking, that means they can cook anything as needed. But if they don't know all the aspects, they can't just cook anything. They can only cook the two or three recipes they know. And even then, they still have to keep looking on the box on how to do it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is all these different things we have to know. Because it's not, oh, well, how to put flowers in a kunja and stuff like that. That's not the point. The point is when do you put flowers in the kunja? You know, how do you put flowers in the kunja? Because that means you have to go pick those flowers. So if you don't know how to pick flowers, you don't have a mood of doing service at any time. You're there fanning Radha and Krishna, and it's so nice, and they tell, go pick flowers. No, I'm good. Is that going to work? No. So therefore, you have that mood that I can do anything at any time as is needed. That's spontaneous. That's the meaning of not following the rules. You're able to follow any rule at any time because it's about the rules and there's about the mechanics of it. You know, A, B, C, D. You can do A, D, you know, B, F. You know, you can just keep moving around. It doesn't matter. You can do all of them. That's spontaneous. So that not being understood, then you have all this sahajya stuff come up or the smarta stuff. So Niyamagraha comes up. I don't have to follow the rules, that's the sahajyas, and it's only the rules, that's the smartas. So that's the difficulty. So the acharyas give all the different things, and so as you qualify, then you can take part, because they do mention those, but I get attached to the externals. But no, it's that when one is... In other words, how can you chant continuously? It's only when one gives up anartas. Right, so, oh no, but it says here 3 lakhs rounds, so I'll chant 3 lakhs of rounds, you know, so then I'll be on that platform, that can move on to the next. No, it said you can chant when the anartas go. Then naturally you'll be chanting all the time. So continuous chanting comes from having practiced bhajana kriya so that you remove the anartas. You know, its purpose is not to remove anartas, it's to please Krishna, but the process is you will remove anartas in the process. Does that make sense? So then that points out where it is. Then that means it's continuous, means it's steady, means it's steady devotional service, means it's madhyama. So before that, there's no meaning to any of this. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the acharyas have given it perfectly, and according to the time, place, and circumstance, they'll apply it. But it's not simply just because one's not qualified. It's a matter of when you qualify, you get that. Instead of putting the focus on not qualified, put it on being qualified. That's more difficult. Because otherwise you say, oh, it's because they're not qualified. Then I'll say, of course I'm qualified. But if you put it on being qualified, then here's the standards of qualification. Can we say that that's what we're doing? Right? Because that the point is it's not just that it's there, it's that absorption in the name is such that it's about developing love for Krishna. It's not about being in the pastimes. Because if it's about Ekadas Bhav, then we haven't even gotten off of Shravana Dasa. Right? It's about affection for Krishna. That's what we're saying. When it comes to that continuous, it brings us to the Madhyama platform. So when that taste comes, when we come to the point of ruchi, then you can start to say, now there's some meaning to appreciating the devotees in Vrindavan. Because they're always absorbed. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the science is the same science, just depending upon who you're dealing with and the situation, then you inspire. It's just like this. When Prabhupada first came to America and the devotees were there, how many rounds did he give them to chant, right? So then it just keeps, until he just finds he has to, and then he starts on doing this and that, but, you know, it's like, okay, in those early 60s, how often would he have to go next door to the donut shop? Yeah. Right? Okay. So, now, later on, when Prabhupada on the same Sankirtan, Prabhupada's talking about double it every year. Are they going to the donut shop? No. So, in other words, They could be doing the sadhana as Prabhupada gave it. They can't. Unless they're doing physical activities that deal with men and money, they can't be absorbed. So, therefore, it's just according to the nature of the individuals. But the point is by doing that, that brings them to the point of samadhi. So, they're trying to get that same internal development. So, as you mentioned, the path given to Rupa and Sanatan is that path of internal development. So the externals aren't the point. So, we're saying, oh, but the Ekadasa, that's external then.
Yeah, that's what exactly is happening. That's an external, because you get it from an external source.
Yeah.
Instead of developing from internal, from changing.
Yeah. So that's for us, we just develop internally. When you're qualified, it will be revealed. So you don't have to worry about it. Right? And so those who can follow that external, then, but what is their qualification? Vrakreshwara Pandit. How long can Vrakreshwara Pandit do kirtan? Right? 72 hours, right?
Straight.
Yeah, straight. And that's only because they don't want to outdo, you know, you have to have some respect for the demigods and the Gandharvas and, you know, like that, because they can go for 72 hours. So 72 is a standard, you know, okay, we've been going for 3 days straight without stopping, without resting, without eating, without sleeping, you know, who knows if they even went to the toilet, right? You know, so, and so then they're going to, you know, stop there and say, okay, that was a good kirtan. So for those people, if they follow those externals, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So for us, we have to develop the internal. That's where it is. External symptoms are there so we can see the markers on the way. But it's about the internal development. But that doesn't mean we sit down and we're, you know, bhajan anandis or ghosti anandis, because that's what Lord Chaitanya wanted. So we're performing here, kriyasu, by manual labor. We're performing the physical activities, engaging in devotional service, but the mood is that of the internal development. That's what makes us unique. That's why there'll be a difference. We'll say, oh, but the Ramanujas do this, or the Madhvas that, or this. Everybody's going to be different. So this is how Lord Chaitanya has given us to be absorbed. So the differences in these things are fine, but this is going to be... Does that make sense?
Identifying ourselves with externals. That's why we think that Ekadasabhavaji or same as liberation. When a person was saying liberation, their consciousness is impure. But devotees, they've been purifying their consciousness. That's why when they get to the situation, their consciousness, Mamabhuta, for them the consciousness is already pure. That's why they
move move forward. The other ones, because they've been pure, they may get to that, as you say, as they get to liberation, but because that's a goal, not a situation. Then they'll stop there and think, now I'm Brahman, everything's fabulous, you know. Aren't we enjoying the Brahmananda, you know?
Same
time as Ekadasabhavaji, it's a goal. Yeah, their is a goal, because then I have this and then I can do this with it, that with it, and all that. So it's not so much a situation, it's a social status. Therefore, the rolling on the ground, all these, the hugging, all this and that, chilies up the nose, whatever it takes. You know, like that. So, if, you know, like that. If you can just by being a natural actor can cry on demand, hey, bingo, you're good. But, you know, in other words, all those guys in the rom-coms, they could be sahajis.
Also, like, being qualified and getting a qualification, everything, it all depends with the time factor. It depends on what we
have. That's there. That's there, of course, but it depends more back on that, because if we see at all these stages, where are we moving forward in these stages from? That's there, but why are we moving forward?
Well, we have desire, association, mercy, knowledge.
And where does this mercy come from?
Krishna.
And how do we directly perceive and appreciate Krishna's mercy? Yes. So in other words, hearing from bona fide source, from the acharyas, that's how then we qualify. So in other words, unless we're following the direction of the spiritual man, we're not going to get there. So it always comes down to that. So it's not just that I have this and that. They're the ones that point out one should have desire. One should have commitment. So that's why we're doing it. It's not because I have the desire, it has to happen. That's karma mimamsa. That's not our line. So that's the whole point, is that we can see in our devotional service what are the weaknesses, what is impersonalism, what is what is karma, what is jnana. Because that's what pure devotion means, it's free from karma and jnana. So there's six schools of karma and jnana. So we have to be free from that.
This is the point. It means that in order to get free from them, we can get stuck on any of them.
We can get stuck, but that's why then surrender to the spiritual master, then things can work nicely. So that's why that's there. All these things are based up. So when we're discussing this level, that's expected that all the other parts before are already appreciated. That's what happens is that they skip all that beginning. Because we have to remember, the Buddhist path of Sahajayan means they don't worry about scriptures, rules, practices, and all that. Just that they just think of Buddha and everything's perfect. Right? And so we're used to basically a Sahajayan method. Right? Means we have the Sahajiyas, but how many people have actually seen or actually had to actually spend any time with Sahajiyas? Right? Hardly ever. I remember we were at one program we were doing, but we were part of someone else's bigger program. So we're sitting kind of on the side of this, you have the stage there, the raised stage, the podium. So someone's giving a lecture and all that, and all the different sadhus are there. So Gaudiya Math guys are there, we're there, and this one guy in white sitting next to us, we asked him, what sampradaya are you? And he said, Sahajiya. How often do we ever meet one? Like that. So the whole thing is, but we're used to that concept, the Sahajayan concept, is that's basically, you can say, what the Protestant in the West would be, is that no care for rules and regulations. Right? The person doesn't have any particular dress style, food style, lifestyle, regulation, or anything in any part of his life. But because he remembers Jesus, he's a Christian. That's the Sahajayan. Right? Because then you go back into the things, what are they called? Orthodox. East Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox. Even, Catholic, there's a little bit of, rule. But that's the whole thing. You're trying to get rid of all that. And it's the mood, what I feel like. That's Sahajya. The modern whole liberal stance is Sahajya. No rules and this and that. Whatever's established rules, we throw them out. We'll create our own rules. Sahajiyas have very important rules. You get up on the stage, do kirtan, don't cry, then no one's going to like your performance. You have to cry. You have to, do the thing and then you go back into the song. There's rules how it's done. You haven't heard them like that? Last 40 years been listening to them doing their kirtans. They have rules. They all do it the same. The ladies get up there. If the ladies are doing kirtan, at some point their hair has to come out and just go wild. And they have to do the headbanging stuff, right? They think headbangers are a modern thing. No, they've been over here in, Navadvip for the last 200 years, right? You understand? You have to do that. If they went the whole program with their hair tied up and everything perfect, it's like, what's this, You understand? So they create their own. So that's the whole point. Sahajayan means you throw out whatever's the tradition, what's recommended, you make up your own. And it's fluid, because whatever you feel like, then it can change. So that's the advantage. The conditioned living entity likes that, because then by that, you can do whatever you like. That makes sense? That's the, either misapplied Vedic culture, the material aspect of it, or that's the non-Vedic. Because it's all about doing what you want. Just whether you'll follow within a traditional form, but you're removing something, or it's a matter of you don't want any of that, you want to make up totally your own form. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like, let's say, Theosophic society, right? Total atheists, made up their own religion and all that, but would they set up in a church, an old church? No, they have to set up with something that looks oriental. You understand? Because it's all about the trappings. You know, we're a mishmash of Oriental philosophies. Right? But us, you know, it doesn't matter what it was before. We'll make it into a temple. Right? You know. You understand? So that's the... Demigods continue. Our Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of lotus, conch, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. Right? Because him coming, he'll perform his pastime, so that means he moves throughout the universe. And then because of that, then they'll be able to appreciate his footprints, and that will remind them of him. And that way they will be absorbed in samadhi. Srila Prabhupada comments, the soles of the Lord's lotus feet are marked with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, conch disc, club, and lotus, and also by a flag and thunderbolt. When Krishna walks on this earth or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. The inhabitants of Vrindavan are fortunate to see these marks here and there. These marks are visible to devotees who receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devanu kam pitam. Right? Then, the gopis always thought of the Lord's lotus feet when he was walking in the pasturing grounds, and as described in the previous verse, simply by thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis were fully absorbed in transcendence. Avishta cheta na pavaya kalpate. Like the gopis, one who is always absorbed in thought of the Lord is beyond the material platform and will not remain in this material world. It is our duty, therefore, always to hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet, as actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. So, continuing from the previous discussion on how the Acharyas explain everything. So, we're starting off here with the Lord's lotus feet, the marks on that, you know, the Vaikuntha markings and all that, how they're on the different things like this. Then he takes it up, then from that into the lands of Vrindavan. That being able to be seen is by the Lord's grace. He takes it up to the gopis who are always on that platform because they're the most absorbed in meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. Then, like that, we should be absorbed, right? Mm-hmm. So he took it up, and now it's bringing it down to our position. Mm-hmm. Like that, we should be absorbed. And then one who is absorbed won't remain in the material world. What? That will bring one to that transcendental position, as we mentioned before. From that transcendental position, then you can know Krishna as a person. It is our duty, therefore, now it's back down to sadhana, you know, and the rules and that, therefore, to always hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet. And then how will we do that? Just, okay, as I like, because now it's a spontaneous thing, as actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's feet 24 hours a day. You see, is that that's the point, is that the whole range is there, and then the Acharyas talk about the range, but depending upon the situation, who they're talking to and that, they'll bring out the various points. So here it's about remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet. Because remembrance until it's 24 hours a day, again, the point of samadhi. Mm-hmm. Until one's come to samadhi, or until one's come to the transcendental platform, one's not going to be able to move forward into that depth of appreciating the personal form of the Lord, his name, his personal interaction with the devotees. Because mm-hmm. It's him as a person. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Yeah? Yes? It's whatever it takes. I would just keep them in the more natural form. I would, unless you are a artist trained in the field, don't go Picasso on us. It means his feet, yeah. I mean, not someone else's feet. It means his feet and anything but what says feet. Padasevana. That means the devotees, you know, the name. So all the things connected with the Lord. Yeah, so like that. So The point is that is maybe a beg, borrow, or steal. You know, it's by hook or by crook, somehow or another, remember. That's why you keep yourself in good association. You do particular activities that are going to remind you. So, in other words, what situations and activities and association reminds you of Krishna, that's the active, that's the position you should be in. But it has to be, therefore, who's coming in, the actual, as actually done by Vaishnavas, not those who claim they're doing it. So that takes out the Babaji's and other people like that. Actually done by Vaishnavas. So it's actually Sampradayak who's done, so that's why then we read Palad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they've done this. They've fully absorbed themselves in Samadhi. That's how did they get the Lord's association? So that's the point. You come to Samadhi, you come to that transcendental position, then you get the Lord's association. And they're doing it exactly that way. Palad Maharaj is always absorbed in the Lord, no matter if he's, you know, elephants are there, or big snakes are being tossed off a mountain, and then the Lord's there. Right, Dhruva, he's totally absorbed in the Lord, then the Lord's there. Right, so when in meditation you are always absorbed in the Lord, then the Lord will appear, you know, seemingly externally, the same Lord. But until he's 100% there in the heart, then why will he? Because if he comes, if it's not all the time, how do you know that the lineup of your thinking of the Lord and his being there will match? You know what I'm saying? So he appears before you, but this is your thinking of breakfast. So then why? So when you're 24/7, that means whenever he appears, you'll be thinking, and so then you can relate. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Coming to that point in samadhi, you are liberated. That's what it says. Fully absorbed in transcendence. One who is always absorbed in thought of the Lord is beyond the material platform, will not remain in the material world. So that point of when we're saying you have to come to the Brahman platform, we mean you have to come to absorption in the Lord, a samadhi. So the Vedic thing, you just come to Brahman, yeah, that's how they'll say it. But the Brahman platform means total absorption in Krishna. Coming to that point, then externally he'll be there, then that means you can take part in the pastimes. But unless you're remembering 24/7, then it's not going to, that position won't be obtained. So they're all talking the same things, it's just how they'll present it and all that. So here, fully absorbed in transcendence. So like that. That means Brahman platform means you're always on the transcendental platform. You're always absorbed in Brahman. And who is that Brahman? That's Krishna. Right? And everything being Krishna, that means anything connected to Krishna is Brahman. Therefore, absorption in that, you're on that platform. You're transcendental. Now you can appreciate the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to do. Does that make sense? And it's all consistent?
Yeah, it's consistent. I was thinking that, you know,
Samadhi and the whole discussion. Yeah. Yeah, because that's the whole thing is what is being brought out here, is that the Samadhi 24 hours a day, because you can see in what Prabhupada just mentioned in this purport here, he just went through the whole process. Mm-hmm. It's just that you know the process, then you know the points that are coming. He just doesn't get into detail. It's just like someone who's master will mention what's necessary. Someone who's expert has to say everything about the same thing every time. Otherwise, you know, what's their uniqueness? You know, like that. So that's the difference. So it appears that sometimes they're not, but if you know, then you can see, no, it's talking the same thing. That's the point where we're saying, Prabhupada's saying all the same technical things. He just does it in a very pleasant way. Right. So that's it. Okay. That's the point.
Can we say that Srila Prabhupada came to also give the way to be in Samadhi, be engaged in Sankirtan and Ulthana?
He came to show us the process of elevating ourselves to the platform of Prema Bhakti. You know, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. That's what he came to do. But since it has to be organized, if you're going to say in every town and village, then that needs some organization. So we see with Jiva Goswami then created that concept of the organization, created the base, that fundaments of that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave how that could be spread as a mission. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur then established the machinery, and then Prabhupada took it all over the world. So now that institution that can do that, that's then what he's doing, but it's only for that same purpose of everybody is absorbed in Krishna. That's the only purpose of it. So to get distracted that it's other things, then no, it's about people being absorbed in Krishna.
Okay.
is possible to get this samadhi through all this preaching program and know exactly by going to the forest.
Going to the forest, then who can go and sit in the forest? Take a modern day person who's from the city, take them out in the middle of the forest. How long are they good there? Like before, they could make it a week, right? You know, like that, or at least a weekend. But the modern person, how long are they going to last out there if there's no internet? Huh? Yeah, where will you find the forest? Yeah, remember, we were going along, some devotees were going along with one devotee, you know, from here, from Mayapur, but from Sweden. And they're going along, and then there's some trees. And they go, oh, forest. They say, that's not forest. Then they go along farther, and then bigger. That's not forest, you know. And then, oh, forest. You know, exactly, the trees are bigger than this. And then finally comes this place where you can go up to a vantage point, and for as far as you can see, there's nothing but forest, not one building, nothing. Then he goes, this is forest. So... yes. So the point is that how long would they do on their own anyway?
But there's mosquitoes in there.
Sorry?
Mosquitoes,
you know, whatever it is. The point is they're not going to be able to function alone. Because otherwise, if people could function alone, why would we need Twitter and Facebook and all these kind of things? You know what I'm saying? It's because people can't be alone, but they are alone. So, a unique... how to be not alone in your aloneness. Yeah.
So we can be completely confident that by doing the...
yeah, because it means if we want to take it in the tradition, then we are here in the forest. This is the forest of Mayapur, and this is the forest of Vrindavan. So this is the forest. It means you're getting away from material life. Right? By absorbing yourself, you know, following, like the gopis or the Brajbasis, being absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet. But to physically go away to the forest, how many people could even do that? How many people even used to go camping before they joined? You know, it's like, right? You know, it's just like, basically, how many people you know use icebreaker stuff? Right, or North Face, or... you understand? Yeah, I'm just saying it's very rare. So they're the ones that maybe could go out there for a couple of days.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.